DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now with a timely tune. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is a Buffalo fight song by the short-lived Buffalo band Wide Right in honor of your football team.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. Rick James is from Buffalo. Spyro Gyra from Buffalo. Chuck Mangione from Buffalo. Who else? Or from Rochester.
Google Dolls.
Chuck Mangione. What? Google Docs.
Ani DeFranco, I believe, is from Buffalo.
Oh, there you go. Ani DeFranco.
The actor Vincent Gallo is from Buffalo.
There you go. Okay. How did your fantasy team do?
I'll be taking a loss unless I get my, I have a kicker active tonight. So unless I get like 7 field goals, I think I was projected to win going into the late game last night. And then Derrick Henry did me in as he almost did in your team.
Holy smokes. He's unbelievable. I won't keep you that long today because we got to talk about the NFL, but a couple things I did want to ask you about. One is, well, so Parker Fleming is doing a bit. He asked me for my top 25 all time Grizzlies, and I submitted it. And although it gets thin at the end, and I suspect you're doing something around this, so I'm not going to ask you to get into the merits of any of the top 25 stuff. But one thing that did strike me, I went over to their website. There's no mention of the fact that this is the 25th anniversary season. Isn't that a little weird?
Well, we'll see. I mean, get back to me in a month and right. We'll find out. Right. They did during the 20th season. Remember they did that 20 bobblehead set.
Right. Yep.
And so they did stuff around there. I don't know whether they have anything planned in particular to commemorate that this season or not. I do, as you alluded to.
Right.
But whether they do, I honestly don't know the answer. I'm not going to, I would judge it. I won't make a conclusion about whether they're going to do anything based on the website today.
Yeah. Was the 20th season, by the way, was that COVID? Was that would have been the COVID season? Did they know it was
turned out to be? No, I mean, that bobblehead thing was planned like 2 years in advance or whatever. Yeah. So, no, I'm sure they didn't know that would be the case. But I do think that was a COVID season, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you're exactly right. We'll see. It's a, they rolled out their season ticket. I mean, when they got their schedule, I guess that's when I first noticed it. When the schedule came out, it wasn't 25th anniversary schedule, whatever. It's a
right.
It's kind of a big deal, I think, the 25th anniversary. And so I look forward to talking to you about this stuff when your stories start to appear. So, okay. Then last week, we had the and we talked about how weird the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame is in talking about Ja's chances, Jaren's possible chances, Mark's chances, etc. But now that we have a free moment here, I thought I want to go through their other categories and see if you agree. Here are the 75th anniversary team locks. It's actually quite a robust group, and it suggests that this is a pretty good time to be an NBA fan. The people have angst about the next, whatever, but here you go. Giannis, Steph, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook.
I mean, to me, you could draw a line and put those in the two groups. There's the obvious and the debatable. And the obvious is the obvious. That's LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, Giannis. I think those five. Unless I'm forgetting someone.
How about Kawhi? Is he obvious? Did you put him in obvious?
No. I would put him in the category with
right.
Westbrook, Harden, and
Anthony Davis.
Dame and Anthony Davis. And to debate the merits of those guys, I'd have to make a list, right?
Right.
Because you can start saying, like, this guy's an all-star, but there are 24 all-stars if you name 36 players, you know. It's that kind of thing. So you have to start making a list. Kawhi Leonard has been a finals MVP on two different teams, I think. James Harden and Russell Westbrook have been league MVPs. Anthony Davis, I don't think was he finals MVP when the Lakers won the title? I don't think so, but I don't remember. Damian Lillard's ever played in the finals or won a league MVP. So to me, Lillard is the sketchiest of those. But I'm not 100% certain that Anthony Davis should be on that list.
Well, it's an interesting. I don't think, and Jeffrey, correct me, but it doesn't feel like with baseball, there's this whole first ballot, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Do we even think about that when it comes to the NBA? Is that even a?
Like, I feel like we think about it we think about it a little still with the NFL, but it's not to the degree that baseball is, but definitely not with the NBA.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about like a 75th team or whatever, which is a little bit different from the Hall of Fame thing. But, like, baseball is just – basketball is not as old as baseball, right? And there's more of a clear sense of – like, you can only argue qualitatively, like, how Honus Wagner would do in today's baseball or Rogers Hornsby or, like, no one – who can say?
Right.
I think other than Wilt Chamberlain, we sort of can say. Like, Bob Cousy was great in his era and probably deserves to be on that team. But if you pluck that dude out and put him on the court today, he wouldn't be Bob Cousy. You know, where it's maybe Rogers Hornsby would be Rogers.
You think Honus Wagner would be Honus Wagner?
I think it's possible. Baseball is more of a skill-based game. Not that athleticism doesn't matter,
right?
But skill matters an awful lot. So, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. But, okay, here's the next. This is these guys were not on the 75th anniversary team, but are also, according to ESPN, locks. Jokic, Kyrie, Draymond Green, Clay, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Shea, and Rudy Gobert.
Now, what are we saying they're locks for?
Non-top locks for Hall of Fame. Here you go. These were non. They separated those that were on the 75th anniversary team. Yeah. Why is Paul George a lock?
I mean, he's probably made several All NBA teams, but it's one of those things where, like, you know, the position and the conference sort of allows for that, right? And so I don't think when I think of Paul George, I don't think
nine All Stars
lock it down.
Nine All Stars, six All NBA.
That's good. That's a good – when you look at that on a sheet of paper, that's impressive. But when you think Paul George, I don't think you think automatic Hall of Famer, like lock it up, one of the greats, you know?
What do you think of Rudy Gobert? Four Defensive Player of the Year awards, tied for the most ever. Dikembe made it with four. Ben Wallace made it with four. Isn't Gobert every bit as much a Hall of Famer as Ben Wallace?
Probably. I mean, again, it matters like – winning titles matters, and being a key player on title, you know, Ben Wallace won a title. I think that matters. I'm not saying Gobert is not, but that is also a part of the resume, like what you do in playoff basketball, what you do in team success. I mean, you can't just make that happen by yourself, especially if you're a Ben Wallace like player. You have to be on the right kind of team, but it is sort of part of the story of you. But yeah, I think four-time Defensive Player of the Year probably is that does get you. You know, through the rope, so to speak.
And how about Draymond? There you've got the titles.
Oh, I think Draymond is a better case than those guys. I think Draymond historically is probably a greater player historically than either of those guys, even though they've won more Defensive Players of the Year.
All right. Group three was young stars well on their way. Here it is Luka, Jason Tatum. It's funny, though. These guys are all not – you're exactly right. These guys are not all like each other in all of these categories so far. Luka, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, and Wemby.
Well, Luka and Wemby are all-time talents. And it's a matter of just the resume filling out around the all-time talent.
Right.
And, like, the only thing that's going to disrupt that is injury. Like, that's it.
Wemby would not be a Hall of Famer if he has a heart issue and never plays again.
Right.
You know, like he's just one.
So those guys are Hall of Fame talents. Easy.
Right.
But you have to put together a Hall of Fame resume, you know, with your Hall of Fame talent. So barring some kind of injury or health related thing that prevents it, like those guys are locks if they play long enough. Tatum and who else did you say?
Well, Tatum and Luka. Luka has 5 first team All NBA selections. Tatum has 4 all first team All NBA selections already.
Yeah, but Tatum is like the 5th guy every time. Like, that's sort of the thing with Tatum, right? It's like he's the best guy who's not in the first tier of players. That's sort of what he's been. But I think Tatum, I mean, Tatum was certainly on his way easily too. And again, he's had this injury, but he'll probably come back from that. And so I think Tatum will probably get there. There was the 4th guy? Oh, Anthony Edwards. Yeah, I think Edwards and Tatum to me are similar where Luka and Wemby are similar in that there's just a slight difference in pure talent level. And then it's sort of what you accomplish over time. I mean, Edwards has made all NBA. He's made all-star teams. He's been to 2 conference finals. So he's starting to build the resume. Right. But, like, you know, a lot could happen over the next 10 years.
Paul George is a Hall of Famer. You can actually imagine Anthony Edwards is a Hall of Famer, right? There's no question.
But there's a lot of work to do. And so you never know what's going to happen over the course of a decade.
Okay, here we have veterans on the bubble. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Drew Holiday, Kevin Love, Al Horford, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, DeRozan to me is sort of like the Mitch Richmond of his generation. Mitch Richmond's a guy who was like an all-star level player. You never thought of him as one of the true greats, but then as you look up at the end, you look at the career like scoring totals or whatever. But I don't think there's ever been a time in DeRozan's career where anyone thought he was a top 5 player in the league or even a top 10 player in the league, even at his best. Whereas Towns has been an all-NBA guy. There are times where Towns is like, is this guy the second-best offensive big in the league or the third-best? You know, Drew Holiday's a different kind of player. That's a guy.
Lowry, Holiday, and Horford are all winners.
More role-player, winner, defensive-oriented. And you look at the longevity with Horford. Again, it's hard. I don't think anyone has a clear conception in their head. At least I don't. I doubt many other people do, too. Of where the line is drawn in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And my instinct is yes on Horford. My instinct is more maybe on the other guys in that group.
How do you think of Kevin Love? Because I think of him as a disappointment fundamentally, but he's a five-time All-Star, an NBA champion, an Olympic gold medalist, and has more than 15,000 career points.
Oh, I don't think of him as a disappointment. I think of him as an elite third option, basically, which is what he got to be when he got to Cleveland. I mean, that's the guy, you know, if he's your third guy, you win titles with that. If he's your number one guy, you're like, you know, you're losing to the first round of the playoffs, and that's sort of what happened. And so, I mean, I loved Kevin Love coming out of college. It's a guy I wanted for the Grizzlies.
That's right.
And I thought Kevin Love was fabulous. I think he had a great career, but he was not – you know, it's like, you know, are you putting elite number two guys, elite second bananas are those Hall of Famers, right? And if so, then maybe he is.
29-year-olds on the edge. Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Sabonis, and Jalen Brown. They'll all be 29 by the end of
October. My instinct is no on most of those, but there's work to do. I think Mitchell and Brunson in particularly, like what do they do and what do their teams do? It's hard to see at this point Devin Booker's, you know, having the team success in this year. He's hit his prime now, and he's right in his prime, if not, like, on the edge of it going the other way. And, like, now his team is bad. And so it's hard to see what, you know, maybe he gets traded and something happens. But it's not just about the numbers. You got to have some winning involved most of the time, unless you're just a super great player who finds himself on bad teams.
It's funny. You can imagine a DeRozan-like career, but he feels better. It feels more circumstantial. Like it's just what's happening around him.
Whereas Mitchell and Brunson are guys like those guys, you know, one of those guys could be the best player on a team in the finals this year. In fact, one of those guys should be the best player on a finals team this year coming out of the East. And Mitchell's made multiple All-NBAs. He's first team All-NBA last year. You know, Brunson has been huge leading teams in the playoffs the last 2 postseasons. Even if they didn't get all the way, he still had mammoth games in the playoffs. And I don't even remember who the other guy you said was.
Here's the last category. Just you won't remember all these names. There's too many. But grab a few that you are persuaded will be Hall of Famers. Here you go. Circle back in a few years. Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero, Zion, Ja, Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, Scotty Barnes, Sengun, Tyrese Maxey, Stephon Castle, Amen Thompson, Cooper Flagg. Pick two Hall of Famers from there for me, Chris.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, Cooper Flagg is considered, in terms of magnitude of talent, partly because he hasn't played yet. Like, you would have said this about Zion once upon a time. But Cooper Flagg is sort of considered, even though he's only 18 years old, like that kind of guy. We'll see. I think Cade Cunningham and Evan Mobley jump out to me. They're not as starry as some of the other guys, but I just think they're going to look up and have mammoth careers as long as they stay healthy. I mean, Cade Cunningham was all NBA last year at like age 23 or whatever, and he's got this sturdy build. Everything runs through him. He's sort of like, you know, Luka, but not quite as good as Luka. But if he's like leading a good team for the next 10 years, putting up 25-8-8 every year. And then Mobley, he's already won a Defensive Player of the Year. I think his offense will continue to bloom. That's going to be a guy who makes like 10 all defensive teams and 7 all NBA teams. And I mean, I've been in the bag for Mobley like since the draft, really.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Good luck with the kicker tonight. 7 field goals. That's what you need. Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. And we'll see what the Grizzlies do with the 25th year anniversary. I'm surprised I haven't heard more about it, Jeffrey. Because I hear more about it from people around the team who are starting to assemble their 25 lists than I am from the team.
No, I mean, again, maybe they have a launch coming or whatnot, but I'm with you. Like, I haven't seen any marketing around it.
All right. If you are selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. I saw, by the way, rates are starting to come down, Jeffrey. Friday. If you shopped, you might get a rate that's sub 6, maybe around 6, but whatever. Like, the rates are finally starting to come down, and so that is hopeful. And Josh Hysaw, though, makes it easy for you because you're going to be getting besieged by all these instant cash offer things, and most of them, they just want to lowball you. They're from out of town. They're either calling you, texting you, hey, Mr. Calkins, are you interested in selling your house? And the answer is no, because I don't want to be lowballed. But Josh Hysaw is a local agent, Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty. If that's the way you want to go, it's simple. You don't have to pour money into fixing up your house. You don't have to have showings. You don't have to any of that nonsense. You just invite Josh out to your house. He'll size it up, do the comps, and it'll give you an offer for the full market value of your home. And then you got up to 4 to 4 months to hand over the keys. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. You can check them out at joshhasthebuyers.com. All right, more on the NFL. Thrilling. This was just, I almost realized, Jeffrey, it's almost too much to take in.
Yes.
Between college and the NFL, it's almost too much to take in. But we will attempt to sort our way through it. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. As I said, just too much to digest between college football and the NFL. I appreciate all the texts congratulating me, easy for me to say, on the Bills win, like the 20,000 Bills fans or so who exited. It's kind of a tough day to be a Bills fan. Great day to be a Bills fan. But, you know, the whole best fans in the world, Bills Mafia stuff.
This is a school night.
No, it's literally the last night. It's the last night, last opening night at that stadium ever. Sunday night football.
And you got Josh Allen.
Dead may never die. Here's the thing. I just try to convince myself. I just find myself so depressed when they're getting run over. I'm just so depressed when they're getting run over. I texted John last night. I said, I don't know how people watch games that they care about. It's so excruciating. And so
there's also so few plays in NFL games. It feels like every drive, especially in that kind of game, it felt like every punt was a waste.
Score. Well, like in the early in the game, Bills drive down, score a touchdown. Ravens come back and get the field goal, right? They get the field goal. Then the next drive, the Bills are, and then they hand off to James Cook for three, and they have to punt, and you feel like that could be the ball game,
right?
Well,
and then they got, like, remember the one drive where they got 9 yards? It was like 9 yards on first down. Then they tried to go quick.
Well, that's
stopped.
What I mean. Yeah. Exactly. That's the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's over.
They tried James Cook twice, stuffed, and it's like, that's it. Ravens are never going to not score.
Yep.
Right? And sure enough, they weren't. They did always score, mm-hmm. except for the last three drives. The problem is, of course, is that if you really do play, if you continue to play the way that you got you the lead, and someone hits a 60-yard pass over your head, then you get ripped for that.
Yep.
It's anyway. All right. Let's look and see what else happened in the NFL. And we were talking about this earlier. You think the most notable thing that happened was Green Bay dominating Detroit 27-13. Micah with a sack, and even before the sack, he was disruptive.
Yes.
Like, and this was the youngest team in the league last year. They're still, I think, the youngest team in the league. They were 0-6 against the Lions, the Eagles, and the Vikings last year. They beat everybody else. They were 0-6 against those teams last year, and they come out and they dominate Detroit. Your thoughts?
So I want to couch it by saying I am definitely worried about the Lions, and it's not from the coordinator perspective. It's not from – it is the – I'm worried about the Lions up front. And then you really also see on defense, Jeff, God, their whole defense is just like, can Aiden Hutchinson wreck the game? And I thought the Packers did a really good job on Aiden for pretty much the whole game. But in terms of watching a game and going, oh, this is different, I felt that way about the Packers yesterday more than any team.
Detroit last year averaged 33.2 points a game, and yesterday they had 246 total yards. Right now, predict the finish of that division. Obviously, we got the Vikings Bears tonight.
I'm going to say Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears.
Packers, Lions,
Vikings,
Bears. You're knocking down the Vikings because of rookie quarterback?
Yeah. They're inexperienced. I mean, I know he's technically not a rookie, but it's his first time starting. I did also think yesterday the stat line's not going to be overwhelming, but I watched a good bit of Titans Broncos, and we all acknowledge the Broncos have a good defense. Cam made some rookie mistakes, like managing the game. Like, he took a couple of bad sacks when they were in field goal range. But in terms of just playing the position, I still feel pretty good about him. He's got something to his game.
It's interesting that you zero in on that. How much of that game did you watch?
Probably 85% of it.
So the biggest league-wide takeaway from that, it struck me, was, oh, the Denver defense is awesome.
Yep.
That we knew the Denver defense was awesome. The Denver defense was awesome last year, and here they are with six sacks. Again, some of those was Cam holding the ball too much, too long.
Again, there were definitely some rookie stuff of not recognizing how to get rid of the ball. But I still thought he made some plays.
Still, give, I think 133 yards. Like Cam was 12 of 28, 112 passing yards. Titans had five drives where they started. No, that ended up inside the 50, and they get three field goals out of it. Like, that's just not...
No, that's the problem.
You can't do that. But to me, the question was, if Denver... We saw what the Chargers did, beating the Chiefs, and people think, well, Denver, a lot of sort of... If you were to say, who... Name a team that was picked by more people as a dark horse.
Yep.
Super Bowl contender.
Denver. Yes.
Right? Is there anyone else who would be? Because I don't think you could call Cincinnati a dark horse, right? They got Burrow.
I did see a lot of people talking about the Packers,
but are they dark horse?
But I'm with you. Like, I don't know.
And but Denver didn't look like they fixed their offense.
There's a lot of people that think if Stafford stays healthy, the Rams
could be,
are
yeah.
in that in that category. But definitely the most popular, I felt like, was Broncos.
If that's the category,
yeah.
Dark horse Super Bowl contender, it's the Broncos. But that was predicated on their offense is going to be better this year. And it was not yesterday.
It was not. And Bo is still kind of like that was Auburn Bo Nix that was itching to get out of there at times yesterday.
And they didn't run the ball effectively,
mm-mm.
which they were supposed to do.
And the Titans still have some good players. Jeffrey Simmons was still wrecking the game.
You know what struck me? There's been a bunch of contracts handed out in the past week. Was it the Titans safety, I think, got a...
Yeah, he did last week.
And what struck me is that all these damn teams have good players.
Yes.
Like, in college football, we can pick through all the games that were played. And we can find some great matchups, and then we can find some games that turned out to be great games. But in the midst of all of that, there's a lot of games that are just ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. Why is Ohio State playing Grambling?
To
ridiculous.
Give themselves a check.
Yeah, ridiculous. And Tennessee and East Tennessee, whatever. Like, there's some in the NFL, all these damn teams have good players.
Yes.
They all have good players. Even the Saints.
Alvin Kamara is still in the Saints.
Alvin Kamara is an awesome player. He's still on the Saints. Anyway, Denver wins that one, beats Tennessee 20-10. If I'm Tennessee, I'm not unhappy. I'm in it for the draft pick and for Cam's development, right?
Yeah, and again, he's a rookie, but he had some deep out throws that I'm like, man, that's pretty special.
The other game that got a lot of attention, obviously Steelers-Jets, fun game. Which nobody saw coming, that it would be a fun game.
Everybody thought that was going to be like a 10-7 or 10-9. Like,
instead, it's 34-32, and both quarterbacks in the great quarterback swap, Aaron Rodgers for Justin Fields, both of them were good. Aaron with 4 touchdowns, 136.7 passer rating. That is better than any Steelers quarterback in the last 7 seasons. It was his 37th fourth quarter comeback. And then I have to say, I'm not a fan of the guy, but I do enjoy that after the game, he said, I was happy to beat everyone associated with the Jets.
Yeah, and so like they started it off by asking, Aaron Glenn cut you, and he's like, yeah, or whatever he did. And he's like, so were you happy to beat him? And he said, I was happy to beat everyone associated with the Jets.
Yeah. Just beautiful. There's the whole, if you were going to cut me, did you have to make me come to headquarters in order to cut me? Right? He flew to headquarters.
Yeah.
That's one where if they'd cut him from afar, they would have said he didn't even do it face to face. Didn't have the guts to do
there
it
was
to
a
my
no,
face.
That was a no win.
And I think that they were right to move on. Jets, given where they are, were right to move on. And Justin Fields looked good too. 16-22. He had 266 all-purpose yards. 3 touchdowns.
He had the highest success rate of all quarterbacks in week 1.
So, and by the way, how about Aaron doing a back shoulder throw to Calvin Austin?
He was looking for Calvin a couple of times.
Muscling up there. Yeah, but I thought it was that one, the back throw down the sidelines. You don't normally go back shoulder to your 5'9", whatever he is.
It's usually
receiver.
The big receivers.
Calvin was great. So that was good to see.
DK had a ball that he caught 3 times.
Yep, 3 times.
Or maybe
3
catches. Caught once. Had a chance to catch it 3 times.
And then, of course, the 60-yard blast in order to win it for the Steelers. Are you convinced by either of these? In other words, are you convinced either that the Jets are going to be pesky or that the Steelers now, with Aaron Rodgers, are a true Super Bowl contender?
So, true Super Bowl contender for the Steelers, no. But they clearly have the best quarterback play that they've had since, you know, I don't know, what. Maybe like, when do we think, like, the last 2 years of Roethlisberger were brutal. It feels like they have the best quarterback play since then. My concern on them is like, are we sure that defense is still, like, good?
Well, that's the thing. I think if you're going to argue the other way, it's that they were facing Justin Fields and the Jets.
And Justin Fields did
the
whatever he wanted.
The Jets outgained them 394 to 271 yards. The Jets did. The Jets outgained you 394 to 271. You got that kind of game from Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, isn't going to be getting younger during the course of the year. I don't believe that's the way it works. And you needed a 60-yard field goal to win?
Correct. And they could not run the ball. The offensive line really struggled at times to protect him. Like they did a good job. Arthur Smith did a good job of scheming away from an offensive line that was getting beat pretty significantly. But I do I think the Jets are going to be an annoying team to play.
I mean, let's be honest. The Bills struggle with the Jets all the time, even when the Jets stink.
To your point about everyone's got good players, like Quentin Williams is still a really good player. Like, he's a monster.
Garrett Wilson's a good player. Yeah. Sauce Gardner's a good player. The Jets have good players. Tell me how the Steelers division's going to end up.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bengals win unpersuasively, but they
unpersuasively,
win.
Unpersuasively, but they won week one. So that's
they win
a plus.
One week one, yeah.
Like that's adding one to the ledger. Also, I definitely think the Browns are not as bad as the perception is. Like they're
good players,
right? They're going to be
maybe the best defensive player in the league.
They're the annoying team that's going to go 5-12, but like you, every game's going to suck to play them. I'm going to say Bengals, Ravens.
Bengals win the division.
I'm going to say Bengals win the division. Bengals, Ravens, because the Bengals, don't forget, they get the third place schedule. Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Browns.
You're going to have the Ravens have to play the wild card team.
Yeah.
That's a hellacious wild card team.
That is one hellacious wild card team. Well, I mean, think about it. There's a reason the Chiefs did not want to see the Bengals.
This is what I don't want. I don't want the Bills to have to play the Ravens in the wild card game. Bills win their division.
Win the
AFC. Get the bye. Anyway, good for Calvin Austin. The Steelers win that one. Jets look pesky. Speaking of putting an end to a opening game losing streak, I didn't realize it had been 11 years in a row for
the
Colts.
Have a tie.
Oh, I see.
They had a loss.
It was a winless.
They had a tie in there somewhere.
I have to say, I was wrong about a lot of things. I am wrong about a lot of things. One of the things I was wrong about was that the Dolphins are underrated because my theory, I said this last week, that when Tua has been healthy, they've been good, at least good playing bad teams, right? So this idea, now, they've felt dysfunctional, honestly, ever since the end of last season.
Yeah, to me, this was less about... This was a vibe problem. Like, they just were, like, a bummer to watch. Like, you just saw clearly, like, a dysfunctional team. I don't think it was necessarily talent.
Daniel Jones and the Colts scored on all seven offensive – all seven. They had seven offensive possessions. Daniel Jones and the fearsome Colts. I mean, you got Michael Pittman Jr. Yeah, I mean, there's some players there too, right? But you shouldn't score seven
Jonathan
straight.
Jonathan Taylor's still a good player.
Jonathan Taylor's still a good player. You shouldn't score seven straight offensive possessions, but there you had it. Daniel Jones, 22 of 29, 272 yards, a touchdown pass, two more on the ground. Does this, I think we were both a little skeptical or wondering about the decision to start Daniel Jones.
Well, but
does
I
this
did it
validate
from like,
it?
I did it from the perspective of you need to see what you have with Richardson.
Right, it's from knowing where you are as a franchise and knowing what you have to discover.
I also think that this is true. The narrative and vibe around Daniel Jones is worse than Daniel Jones as a player.
Like is he the latest reclamation project?
Like my thing with him is if you need him to be a top 10 quarterback, he's never going to do that. But he does some things well. He's way more athletic than you realize.
Well, I mean, compare him to some of the other reclamation projects. The most famous reclamation projects, right? Baker.
I think he's most similar to Darnold. Because Darnold's
Geno,
a better athlete than you
there's
think.
There's Geno. There's Darnold.
And I think they both are, they have to have a scheme around them that works, and they can play competent football. Are they going to elevate the team?
They are similar in that they're also prone to mistakes.
And they were drafted by New York teams.
Yeah.
And they had big spotlight, and they do have some turnover problems. There's no question.
Gino's really better at spinning it than those guys are.
Yes. No, Gino's a better pure thrower than both of them.
Than either of them. And Baker's just a better quarterback.
Yes.
Anyway, Colts win. Dolphins, woo! Woo! We will see what happens there. Let's go to Washington and your Giants.
Yep.
21-6.
I mean, yesterday convinced me of one of two things. I do think the defense is still pretty good. I mean, yeah, we limited them to 21 points, but our offense did absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
They were,
I mean, they
were in the worst spot.
The Giants were the Kentucky Wildcats.
Correct.
Of the NFL yesterday.
And if it really is true that he's going to go away from Russell Wilson into week two, I am actually excited to watch football this season, also knowing that this team's not going anywhere, but at least will be fun.
Yeah, you get to watch.
Correct.
You get to watch. You get to see. You now, it's interesting, though. Do you – so, and obviously, Daboll was noncommittal.
Yep.
When he was asked about – and normally you wouldn't be this early. You'd stay
not
still
week,
our
not
starter.
Not week two, you, or at the end no, of week one.
You'd say he's still our starter, whatever. He's
right.
Our starter, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The fact that you're noncommittal, but it was a gruesome performance. 17 to 37, 168 yards. He ran, whatever, eight times, 44 yards.
The other problem is the offensive line is not good. So I'm not saying this is entirely a Russell Wilson problem, but the thing is, he can't move anymore.
Well, here's the question. And, are you going to be able to learn much from about Jackson Dart? Like in the end.
The schedule's brutal.
The Bills didn't want to start Josh as a rookie.
Yeah.
Right? They did not. But they were forced to because Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
Nathan Peterman wasn't up to the task.
He is an all-time cash checker, though.
And so.
Or check casher.
So how do you feel about Jackson Dart? Particularly, we've gone over their early schedule. It is just brutal.
I would much rather watch Jackson Dart than watch whatever was with Russell. Yes. It's not like the idea of Russell is you get a veteran. He's going to take what they give you. And yes, it doesn't. You don't hit your ceiling, but you're going to have a higher floor. Well, the floor was six points.
Are you going to ruin him?
I don't know. Did you think the Cowboys defense is going to ruin anyone this year?
No, the Cowboys defense is not going to ruin anyone.
Okay. Is the Chiefs defense going to ruin anyone?
Chiefs defense, no.
Okay.
That's who they got. Those are the next
yeah.
two.
Chargers, good, solid, strong, like fundamental team, but like this isn't like going to absolutely ruin them. Then at the Saints, Eagles at home on a Thursday night. Okay, that's a problem.
I don't really subscribe to the ruin theory anyway. I just don't. You know, how about the Malik Nabers stuff? Seemed unhappy.
I mean, that's kind of what he's been doing. It's a diva wide receiver.
Right.
Like, I'd rather have a diva than not. They're usually better.
We had our friend Tony. Russell Wilson wasn't the problem. Three times where receivers couldn't catch. Offensive line is terrible. You said that.
Yeah.
Offensive
but my
line
point
is terrible.
He can't move.
Play calling is awful. Wasn't a Russell Wilson problem. Was the offensive coordinator. Bad receivers and a terrible head coach. He was a good head coach when he was the Bills offensive coordinator.
I still believe in Dable as a coach. But Jackson can avoid the rush better. Like to me, it's the same thing of like playing Drake May last year. Yeah, it's a bad offensive line, but like your option of playing like Jacoby Brissett.
What's the point?
Right.
What the hell is the point? What is the point of playing Russell Wilson? Come on, man. What is the point? Bucks 23, Falcons 20.
This was the don't trust either kicker game. So Younghoe Koo has a chance to send the game to overtime. I felt like it was like a 40 yarder. Didn't feel like it was much of a miss. So I looked it up, Jeff. It was not the worst week one in terms of field goals made percentage, but it was the second worst extra point percentage made since we went back.
It did feel like that as the game, and you're like,
yes.
Oh, this happened, you know, obviously the
yes.
Ravens game, that game.
And then the reason why the Bucs were in the spot to leave it a three-point game is because they missed an extra point. Then you have the Browns missed two makeable field goals and an extra point, like, It was the second worst extra point make percentage since we moved it back in 2015.
How do you feel about Penix?
I still believe in his arm. I would like to see him process a little bit faster. It feels like he waits to hit home run. He's also maybe one of the best extending the football guys I've ever seen. On this touchdown run, I can't figure out how his knee wasn't down, but it wasn't. And he did some good things, but like he's still inexperienced and whatnot. But like I think you're better off going with that than you are Kirk Cousins at this point. It's more interesting. Bijan's still really fast.
Bijan is really fast. We don't have a lot of time left. We got 49ers squeaked by Seattle. 49ers more injury.
They
issues.
Had Jake Moody also missed some field goals.
Yeah. More the Bengals squeaked by the Browns. The Raiders beat the Patriots. Patriots really, people expected them to be better this year. Doesn't look like it so far.
That was not inspiring.
How about Jags? We both selected the Jags as a team that we thought would maybe win more games than people are giving them credit for.
Panthers might be a bummer again on offense.
That's too bad.
No receivers.
In terms of who was really disappointing, who you expected more from? Like the Chiefs lost, but not disappointing, really. The Ravens lost, but not at all disappointing, really. How about as a terms of disappointment? How about the Texans?
Okay, so
are the Texans?
But it comes back to I think everybody, like, I think there was so much like anti Bryce Young sentiment that everybody
pro CJ Stroud,
correct,
sentiment,
and he's fine, but like this idea that all of a sudden he is like move over world. This is his world. Yeah, I mean they did not score an offensive touchdown, and again the Rams front's really good, but
Rams front is really good. But in terms of like teams that you thought might be good, is there anyone who was more disappointing than the Texans?
More disappointing? No, I think that's.
The Broncos and the Bengals weren't thrilling in wins though.
Yeah, know? I mean, I would say I am worried about the Lions up front.
Oh, the Lions. Yeah, Lions. Lions are very disappointing.
Yeah.
For me particularly because I was trying to play the whole they're not going to miss the coordinator thing.
And again, it's week one.
That's not aging well.
No. Well, I don't.
I think you're also right, though. With the problems up front.
It was not the coordinators to me.
That can get better.
Yes. Like, they're playing some young guys. And yesterday, like, the entirety, like, Green Bay was on fire.
U.S. lost to South Korea. That was disappointing. We had another great U.S. Open.
Yeah, my boy, New Rafa.
That was fun. It's going to be a fun day here on the radio station. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They'll be live in studios. We got Respect Burgers today. Looking forward to that from Jason. Switching up, Kevin Cerrito is going to do Mondays with us today, on Jeffrey Wright and Company. So we'll have Cerrito with us. CJ Hertz is going to join us during the second hour. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for Now Work's Done.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.